In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. And I lived in Spain, Toledo, Spain. I was studying for a period of time in the seminary in Toledo. And there were three of us Americans there, and it was about this time of the year. It was actually Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. Of course, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving Day. This is actually a unique holiday to the United States. And the Spanish rector, who kind of looked like Lurch, he did, and a high brown. He was talking, and he said this to us. He says, "You Americans have a very unique, special holiday in your country." And he said, "You have Thanksgiving Day." And he admired that about the United States, that we would set a day aside to give Thanksgiving. Of course, you think about today, and if you're an atheist, it's like, who are you really giving thanks to? I don't know, but for the United States, despite our secularism and the deism of our forefathers, there's certainly a strong Christian influence in this country. It's more of a Protestant one, but still a Christian one. And even John Adams and our forefathers wrote, particularly John Adams, but some of the others wrote, how important it is that the Christian faith be present in this country and morality, because that's what will keep this country becoming a totally secular nation and thereby really collapsing in on itself. He prophesied that, and other forefathers have prophesied that. So it reminds us that, yes, today, this unique day that Abraham Lincoln established as a national holiday, it's a day set aside for our nation to give thanks to Almighty God, a day to step back from all of our normal activities, all of our regular duties, all of our regular responsibilities that can become very routine, humdrum. Today's a day to step back, and it's not really about turkey, and it certainly has nothing to do with football games and nothing to do about shopping. It's a day for family and friends and the citizens of this country to come together and pause and to thank God for the unique blessings particular to the United States. And yes, for all of our faults and failures that we're constantly reminded about by people in this country, our own citizens and people around the world, yes, our country, like every other country, has its faults and failures. Our leaders and our people have been weak. But at the same time, there are certain very unique blessings that this country has. Above all, the freedom to worship God and the freedom for people to come to this country to begin anew, leaving land where they were under oppression, under slavery, under persecution. I mean, most Eastern Catholics, we came from lands of war and violence and strife. The Antiochian Christians have come here because of the Ottomans. They came here to have a better life, to have freedom, to be able to pursue a life. And so we have so much to give thanks to God for, despite everything else going on. We are a truly blessed nation, and today is one day at least to step aside as a nation and thank the one who gives us all these blessings, all these freedoms, all these gifts. Nevertheless, the baptized person with a lived faith daily and throughout the day should be filled with gratitude. We shouldn't just do it one day a year. And that's really called the Christian life of stewardship. Today's gospel passage depicted two types of people. One group took for granted what the Lord did for them. But one man came back and he thanked the Lord. You and I, if we're honest with ourselves, fall into both types. Yes, we are. No, nobody is perfectly like the one man who came back. But probably all of us here are not completely like the nine lepers. Everything that happens in our lives, everything that we have, all the people in our life is a gift from Almighty God. And He gives it freely. He gives it freely. The Lord healed those 10 lepers without expecting anything. He just gave it. There were no conditions to His healing. He came, they asked, He healed, and they went on their way. And that's how God is with each and every one of us. St. Paul writes, "What have you that you did not receive? If then you receive it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift?" End of the quote. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Everything you have, everything I have, is a gift. For what is the baptized person with a lived faith grateful? I'm going to name the top ones, because of course you can sit down in your own life and recount a whole lot of other gifts that God has given you. You couldn't even put them all in a book, really, let's be honest. But let's look at the ones of the greatest importance. New life in Jesus the Christ. Participation today and every day in the eternal kingdom through the mysteries of the church. Those are the most important gifts we have. But there's also the forgiveness of our sins and the ability to pray. Because remember, you can't pray on your own. You can only pray by the gift of the Holy Spirit in your heart. The ability, the possibility to converse and enjoy blessed communion with the living God. What else do you really need? If you have that communion, and as we see with like the great martyr Catherine of Alexandria today, if you have that life in God, nobody can take your life away from you. Nobody. The gift of the church. Our mother church is battered and beaten too often. And I hear very few people talk about our church as a gift. And what does she do? She mediates for us the healing power of the divine physician. We should thank God every day for the gift of the church and never besmirch her. Never take her for granted. An eternal life versus a mere temporal life. For those who live of the world and in the world as purely material existence, what do? One day that person will die. And if all you live is a material life, guess what? Your material body goes into the ground and it decomposes. But for the one with eternal life, we've just begun the journey of life, moving toward the eternal life. The gift of a bishop. Without a bishop, we are disconnected from the apostolic church. That's how important he is. Without a bishop, we have no sacramental life. Without a bishop, we have no priests. Thank God every day for the gift of your bishop. For the Melchites, it's Bishop Sammer. For the Ruthenians, it's the Bishop William. Yes, are they imperfect? Of course. We're reminded too often of their imperfections. You can read history of all the imperfect bishops we've had. At the end of the day, though, they are a gift from Almighty God. They offer to you and me the saving gifts, the saving mysteries. And then your priest. Yes, priests are fallen. Yes, priests are weak. Yes, we've been reminded in the last 25 years of some horrible scandals about a minute group of priests, percentage of priests, very small percentage of priests. Yes, we see their errors. However, let's not forget, without that priest, we cannot have communion with God. It's through the hands of the priest that the very saving mysteries of God are given to us. Pray for your priests. give God thanks for your priests. The gift to participate in God's heavenly banquet, where we are fed with the Eucharist. And what does that really mean? It means you and I are able to abide in God. And God abides in you and me. What more do you need? What more do you want? But that comes to the hands of the bishop. It comes to the hands of the priest. So it's all connected. The gift of salvation. Salvation from what? Salvation is a word that comes in Latin, solus. It means healing. So salvation is granting healing in what ways? From our disordered passions. From our disordered loves. From our destructive vices. If you've gone through any addiction program, or if you've read any of the literature about it, at the end of the day, all of them say the same thing. The only one that's going to save you from your alcoholic addiction or from your drug addiction is a higher power, and we know as Christians who that higher power is, Almighty God. He saves us from our destructive vices. What about the gift of time? Do we see time as a gift from Almighty God? And why does He give us the gift of time? To be with Him, to have communion with Him, and to have communion with one another, and to have communion with creation, to be people of relationships. That's what the gift of time is for. Not to spend it on myself, not to spend it to get more and more things, commercialism, consumerism. I am created to have relationships, as I am made in the image of the one who is communitarian. The gift of divine divinization, to be able to participate in the life of God, unthinkable to all of mankind from the very beginning. And yet God, that is what exactly He came to offer us. Do we give God thanks for the moments of our sufferings, for our trials, for our ordeals, for our pain, for our sufferings? Why? Because as the saints teach us, those are the times we come to learn how to really pray. Those are the moments we learn how to really come to God as a beggar. People think, why does God let me suffer? He let you suffer so you can learn how to call God our Father. Suffering, pain, ordeal, temptations are gifts from Almighty God for your divinization. They're to teach us how to become less disordered in our self-love, and they teach us how to cry out in prayer, real prayer from the heart. That's what's so beautiful about the Psalms. The Psalms come out, most of those Psalms are written by King David, and you see some of them come out of, they are coming from the depth of his heart, out of joy or out of suffering. The man who suffered, the woman who suffered, is the one who can really pray, because they pray from the heart. Give thanks to God then for our sufferings. And what about the gift to journey, to pilgrimage through the heavenly holy land? Yes, we are on a journey. You and I are offered these most important gifts. Yes, there are many, many others, but those are some of the most important. Nonetheless, do we receive them as the nine lepers who took the healing for granted? They took from God His divine work, His healing, His divine patience, His benevolence, and His salvation. They took it all for granted. They got healed and just went on their way. One man, one leper, he stopped. He realized what happened, and he goes back to our Lord. He just doesn't thank Him. He falls on the ground. He falls on the ground. That's gratitude. That's gratitude. When was the last time you and I really fell on the ground before Almighty God and from the depths of our hearts said, Lord, thank you. You've been too good to me. More so, do we avail ourselves of these tremendous gifts offered for healing and for deification? And then do we take what we've received and do we share it generously with our neighbors, selflessly? Because God never gives to you just for yourself. Everything you and I have is given to be shared with our neighbors, with the church, with creation. Yes, today is a secular holiday in nature. However, today, take the time to reflect personally on what you may have taken for granted in your life, because we've all done it. How have you taken for granted maybe the church, maybe the bishop, maybe your priest, maybe the sacramental mysteries, maybe the Eucharist? How have you taken for granted your parish, the outreach, a certain person, a parishioner, a talent God has given you, a gift God has given to you, your basic standard of living that you have in the United States? We're always good about complaining about what we don't have. But how many billions of people in the world cannot even go to a faucet and turn it on for clean drinking water? How many billions of people cannot even go down to a local grocery store to buy the basic necessities of life? And you and I, we are so blessed in this country with the conveniences of having a basic standard human living standard. Have you taken your spouse for granted? Have you taken your family for granted? Have you taken your children for granted? Have you taken your money for granted? Have you taken your job for granted? Have you been noble stewards of the gifts that God has given to you? Or do you hold on to them selfishly and say, it's mine, and you hide it under a bushel basket? Or you take your gifts and say, I'm too afraid to use it. I'm too afraid to share it. So you just take it and you put it aside. God gives us gifts to be shared with Him, with His church, with our neighbors, with our families. Do you receive your gifts and talents and see them as a right to be owned, private property, or as a gift to be shared? Is there a tendency to be focused on what one doesn't have versus what you've been given? The grateful person does not look at what he or she does not have. They're always looking at what they do have. On this Thanksgiving Day, and taking to heart today's gospel passage, let these questions and let these reflections cause you to ponder. Allow them to challenge you, and may it lead to a conversion of heart from a disordered, self-centered love to a right-ordered, selfless love. From this sense of ownership of one's life, one's property, one's gifts, one's possessions, one's talents, and let it be changed into a life of Christian stewardship, where I see everything I have, my life, my property, my gifts, my possessions, my talents, and I am simply a caretaker of them. God's the owner, and our task is to go to Him and say, Lord, how do you want me to use these gifts, my property, my money, my life, to honor and worship you and for the advancement of your kingdom on earth? For the glory of your church. Christ is among us. He is among us.